Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
WMFS FM and HD1 Bartlett. WMFS Memphis. Home of the Gary Parrish Show. Weekdays from 4 till 6 p.m. 92.9 FM ESPN. A radio.com sports station. Jeff's guests appear on the Memphis Express phone line. Get on board the Express at AAF.com or call 901-881-3344 for tickets. This is The Jeff Calkins Show on 92.9 FM ESPN. Now, it's Chris Harrington from the Daily Memphian on the Grizzlies and Beyond. Presented by Fleming's Prime Steakhouse and Wine Bar on 92.9's Jeff Calkins Show.
Chris Harrington joins us now. Chris, what is this we're listening to?
That is an Immigrant Song by Led Zeppelin in tribute to Jonas Valanciunas. I believe I pronounced that correctly that time. Who, last I heard, was still trying to get his papers sorted to make his Grizzlies debut tonight.
Yeah, so we don't know. Is that right? We do not know if he's going to be playing.
I texted this morning, haven't gotten a response back. As of yesterday afternoon, it was still up in the air.
It's kind of weird. I just saw Marc Gasol play in Canada. Maybe they're more welcoming in Canada.
Did you? It could be.
Did you watch that last night?
I saw parts of it, but I didn't sit down and watch the whole thing, no.
How do you feel about Marc being in Toronto?
I mean, if he was going to be somewhere, and I would rather have him there than in Charlotte. I think that's a more interesting team. That's a team that's certainly more likely to be in the playoffs and advance in the playoffs and have a decent chance to get out of the East. I'm rooting for a Toronto-Philadelphia second-round playoff series to see Marc Gasol and Joel Embiid go head-to-head. Marc Gasol being there makes playoff basketball more interesting to me than if he had been in Charlotte, so I'm all for it.
Yeah, it's funny. Watching last night, the highlights from last night, it struck me that it's perfect for Marc because, I mean, a lot of ways it's perfect for Marc, but it's he didn't close it. Like, Kawhi closed it. You know, he could go back to being what he wants to be. He didn't have to be the best player, the alpha, whatever else. When they needed to win the game at the end, Kawhi won it.
I don't think he wants to be coming off the bench playing 22 minutes.
I agree with that.
We'll see where that goes. Over time, but I he's going to have to get used to, yes, I don't think he wants to be the guy who has to take 20 shots, but I also don't think he wants to be the guy who only plays 20 minutes, and so we'll see where that goes.
Do you think he'd be okay with being the guy who plays only 20 minutes for the rest of the season? Obviously, he will have a decision to make at the end of this season as well. Do you think, by the way, that he made any representations that he's opting out? What's Toronto? Toronto's going to have huge question marks heading into next year.
Yeah, Toronto's questions don't start with Marc Gasol. They start with Kawhi Leonard.
Right.
They sort of go from there. I suspect if Kawhi Leonard returns, they would prefer for Marc to just go ahead and opt in and be back, would be my guess, on the 1 year. But I don't really know. And my question would be, and I didn't watch, like I said, I flipped over and watched a little bit of it, and then I saw the box score and some highlights. I don't know if did Marc Gasol close the game? I know it was a close game.
No, he did not.
So to me, it's almost more a question of that. I think coming off the bench is probably hard for him. I think playing, 20-something minutes is probably hard for him. But I think being on the bench in the fourth quarter of a tight game is probably the hardest thing for him, yeah. And that's what I would wonder about.
He was certainly there in the fourth quarter. He scored 10 points in the fourth quarter. 10 of 16 points were in the fourth quarter. But I think at the very end, he was not, is my impression, that he was not. But, it'll be interesting to see where he goes next. As you look at the East, by the way, it's funny because the West, it just feels like Golden State. The East is fascinating. I mean, the East is fantastic. You can make an argument for any of four teams. How do you see the East?
On paper, like, Milwaukee should be the favorite. I mean, all the indicators point to Milwaukee in terms of their record, their point differential, everything else. They have been, you know, probably the second-best team in the NBA this season. And somebody could say they've been the best. I think we all think Golden State's really the best.
Right.
I think in non-Golden State division, Milwaukee has the best resume, and that goes beyond just their record in the NBA. And I think adding Nikola Mirotic was a great move for them at the deadline. I think that was probably a more profound move for them than Marc Gasol was for Toronto. But that's a team that hasn't gone deep in the playoffs. It's really, Giannis hasn't gone deep in the playoffs. They don't have, like, who's their second-best player? Probably Chris Middleton. Like, he's good. He's not as good as the second-best player for Boston or Toronto or certainly Philadelphia, probably. And so I don't, even though Milwaukee has the best resume, I don't think they're going to be a strong favorite once the playoffs start, at least in terms of conventional wisdom. I think you'll see probably a lot of Philadelphia picks because of the star power there. I tend to think it'll be one of those two teams. I may change this when playoffs start. I think I'll prefer Milwaukee and Philadelphia as a pick to Toronto and Boston, but that might change. I do think it's tight. Any of those four could come out.
Obviously, Philadelphia's got a lot of attention. It is amazing that adding Mark is probably the third most impactful addition in that group, with Tobias Harris
right.
also being a and that's been lethal. Everyone's talking about Philly's starting five. Since that happened, what do you make of Philadelphia now?
I think they have the most high-level talent, you know, of any of the teams in terms of 1 through 5, 1 through 6, like your core rotation. There's some question of fit, but, like, they're off to a pretty good start in terms of answering that question. You know, I am likely to root. Now that Mark's there, I'll root for Toronto. But in
right.
absence of that, I would be rooting for Philadelphia because I'm a huge Joel Embiid fan. And, you know, I think we're going to learn a lot more about these teams over the next couple months and going into the playoffs. But I, like I said, I think if I had to pick, I think Milwaukee would probably be my first choice if I'm making a projection. But with Philadelphia very close to them. But none of those four teams are going to surprise me coming out of the East.
Right. It's sort of an interesting nostalgic moment here because you've got Mark playing for Toronto, and then you have Kevin Durant was on Get Up this morning, and he was asked who's the toughest player who ever guarded him, and he said, without a doubt, no question, Tony Allen. And so then you're reminded of the of the KD Tony Allen battles during that. It is sort of remarkable. They didn't always put Tony on KD, did they? Lionel didn't always put him on KD.
I mean, not every second of every, you know, possession necessarily, but that is the most. I mean, the whole Mr. Unreliable.
Yeah, into his head.
Tony was the primary defender, and if you remember. You know, there was a regular season. It may have even been the Grit Grind game, the game that soliloquy came from was at in Oklahoma City, and there was a game in Oklahoma City. I think it was that one where down the stretch, Tony, because he was questioning foul calls, started guarding Durant with his arms behind his back. and that was the thing that happened, just so the referees wouldn't call a foul on him.
I totally forgot that. That's exactly right. Yeah, it'll be a bit. I will say this though, what's interesting is it was. I mean, I literally had people say to me after Saturday's win, maybe it was Sunday. I was at the Tigers game, and people would say to me, "How about them Grizz? I think they're better." And I don't necessarily think they're better, but I do think that people can ginny up excitement pretty easily. With just the slightest reason to ginny up excitement. And I do think that it had gotten to the point where it had gotten to be wearying. I do think people were wanting, not only most people wanted Mark gone, but they wanted to turn the page. And I do think now there is a certain excitement about what comes next for the Grizzlies.
Oh, I think it's certainly true that people have talked themselves into the best case scenarios with the teams they root for. And that happens over and over again, no matter how many times, like that has not come to fruition, so I think
right.
that's part of it. But I also think that, and I think we've already seen it over the past week, I don't know, they're like 3-4 or something in their last seven. I think the depth of their despair in January, where they lost like 19 of 20, or I don't know what it was. I'm making that number up, but it was something like close to that bad, right? I think that was artificially bad. I think they were always going to be better once the schedule eased up and they were going to float back up to sort of more of an equilibrium and the schedule's going to ease up. And they were always going to be a more competitive team, and I think we'd already been seeing that even before the trade deadline. So I think there's that. But I also think that I think the secondary changes that happened did make them better. Not the Marc Gasol part, but the other part I think is an upgrade. The Shelvin Mack, Jamichael Green, Garrett Temple essentially for DeLon Wright, Avery Bradley, C.J. Miles, and then Ivan Rabb into the rotation.
Right.
I think that collectively probably is a little bit of an upgrade. I don't think Valanciunas, when he comes in for Gasol, will be an upgrade. But I think it won't be an enormous downgrade because I think Valanciunas is good. And I do think the agonies of Marc Gasol had a little bit of a depressing effect on the locker room. And so I think you combine all that with the schedule being much easier really starting about 2 weeks ago going forward than it had been. I think it should make the Grizzlies a more competitive team. I'm not convinced we see that tonight with San Antonio in town, but I think in general they'll be more competitive. And I do think it's more interesting. I think it's gotten interesting in a way, and that's sort of what I wrote about today. Like shortly before the show, I put up a big thing that's I call the Grizzlies roster reset, where I went through all 17 players and J.B. Picker's staff and did like about 100 to 150 words on each in terms of what are the questions that matter, you know, for the rest of this season. And so I'm interested in what happens on the floor, even though we're not in a playoff race. I think, and I've written, this will be the most interesting non-playoff race basketball we've seen, you know, in a long time since that, you know, that season right before Grit and Grind was kind of interesting. And I think this, as opposed to last season and the past month, is going to be back to interesting basketball, even if it's not in a playoff race.
It's very different than last year, because last year there wasn't much interesting except where they would finish. I guess you could be interested in Dylan Brooks if you wanted or whatever. Here, so you're interested in Jaren Jackson Jr. very clearly. You're interested in a bigger role and whatnot. There's no question you're more interested in that. You're interested in Ivan Rabb and his development, right? You're interested in how the new guys fit in, and do they fit in, and therefore will they be part of the future? That's very clear. You're interested in Bruno Caboclo, right? What else are we interested in? What am I missing? Are you interested?
Well, that's half the rotation right there.
Right.
So, I mean, that's pretty good on its face. You still get to watch Mike Conley for a couple more months in games where they're trying to win.
Siobhan Carter, I guess.
Yeah, we'll see. Well, you get the pleasure of watching Mike Conley for his own sake.
Yeah, right.
And then, like, if he plays well, that increases the Grizzlies' options this summer in terms of whether they want to trade him or not. And so that's meaningful. I think in addition just to watching players individually, I think it's interesting to watch different combinations with Jaren Jackson Jr. When he plays with Ivan Rabb, when he plays with Jonas Valanciunas, when he plays with Bruno Caboclo, both because that helps you evaluate those players, but it also helps you in a larger sense try to figure out, those are three different types of players. Like, what works best with Jaren Jackson Jr.? So that's sort of an interesting part of it.
And it'll be interesting watching him play faster, honestly. They'll be playing a different style.
Yes.
And everyone in that different style. Jaren in that different style, Mike in that different style, all of them.
Right, and that, you know, and one of the things I wrote today, like, and what I wrote is, like, I don't know whether they have made internally a hard decision on J.B. Bickerstaff.
Mm-hmm.
I have no idea. It could be that they've internally decided we're letting him go after the season. It could be they've internally decided we're going to keep him in the next season. It could be that they haven't made a decision. If it's the third of those, then this next 2 months is interesting for him because it's not last season where you're just playing out the string. Like, they're trying to win games, so you can evaluate on results a little bit. But also the yoke of Marc Gasol has been lifted, and so that, you know, Marc Gasol dictates a certain style and a certain pace. And now for the next 2 months, he will be coaching a team that will look, and, you know, whether Mike Conley's here or not, it's going to essentially look like next season, which is a rebuilding basketball team where a particular style, play, and pace is not dictated to you. And that will give you some better sense of him as a coach, I think.
It is interesting because I'm not saying JB wanted Mark off the team. I don't believe he did. I mean, he was always extraordinarily complimentary of Mark. Mark went to bat for him being the coach very clearly, et cetera. We know David Fizdale wanted them to deal Mark, actually. Like, before, like, they did.
Right.
And so now you've got a team without Mark, and you will see what he will do with it. With respect to JB, it is fascinating. I mean, we talk about whether the front office is going to be changed up. So we don't know whether the front office has decided to keep JB, has decided to get rid of JB, or hasn't made any decision about JB. We also don't know if the front office is going to be the front office.
Well, when I say I don't know if they've made a decision, when I say they, I mean Robert Parra.
Right.
Honestly, like, has Robert Parra made a decision whether JB's going to be back or not? And you're right, that a front office decision needs to come first and then a coaching decision. But I don't know. And the same question applies to the front office. Like, I don't know whether Robert Parra has decided he will definitely make a change or definitely not make a change, or that's a decision he'll still make. And so the same question applies to the front office, but we're sort of done watching the front office work for the next couple months, right? We're now watching, we're right. just watching JB work.
Yeah. All right. Tonight you've got San Antonio, and LaMarcus Aldridge could be a little bit of a problem for Jaren Jackson Jr. That'll be interesting to see. You're not that optimistic about tonight?
Well, the last two games, you know, they won two in a row. For the first time, at least two, I think both the last two games have been at home. Was there a road game? I'm forgetting in there. They certainly won two in a row at home. That was the win against Minnesota and then the win against New Orleans. Both of those teams were teams in some level of disarray or teams that don't seem to quite know what they're doing. And I think the Grizzlies benefited from that. I think a team that's sort of just been thrown together all of a sudden, like the Grizzlies, is going to have a much harder time with a team like San Antonio that knows exactly what it's doing.
Right.
And so I am not particularly optimistic about the results of the game tonight. We'll see then. That's why they play them.
Chris, we'll talk to you tomorrow. Thanks very much.
Thanks.
All right, we will take a break when we come back. We got the Ole Miss situation to get into. Kareem Hunt, Kyler Murray, a lot to do. Maybe we'll do it in the form of Believe It or Not. We got to take a break. Back in a moment. It's Jeff Gawkins, 92.9 FM ESPN.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Jeff's guests appear on the Memphis Express phone line. Get on board the Express at AAF.com or call 901-881-3344 for tickets. This is the Jeff Calkins Show on 92.9 FM ESPN.
Someone asked me on Twitter yesterday, did you mention a lawn service that was volunteering to help with some Memphis parks? That's what they asked. And I said, I think it was a Gary. They said. And I said, I mentioned that Jameson Lawn Care is volunteering to help with the Kerry Cobb and the stuff that he's doing with their ball fields for the Memphis Little League. And the guy tweeted back and said, that's all I need to know. I want to support anyone who is doing something like that. Doesn't surprise me at all that Jameson Pest and Lawn would be involved in that kind of good work. They've been around in Memphis since 1939. So when you're making a decision about who you want to be working on your lawn this year, keep that in mind. But don't just use them because they're local. Don't just use them because they're philanthropic. Use them because they're good. This is a company that was literally thinking of getting out of the lawn care business because about 10 years ago, because it was impossible to make everybody happy because there's really weeds pop up it's constant complaints because you're just like, people are going to be fastidious about their lawns, right? Then they came upon a new system that literally makes everyone happy. And so they said, let's do this. Since then, sales have increased by 30%. They don't just treat the lawn, they treat the soil. The entire plant specifically targets root zone and root development. And now's the time, by the way. Now's the time to get on it because you got to get the pre-emergent down or your weeds will be bedeviling you all year long. I am thrilled that they are going to be taking care of my house because my lawn is an absolute disaster. They came over, walked me through it last week. And, yes, I'm going to be like one of those. I'm going to be having a new sign in my yard saying best. What is it? Best yard? I'm going to have a
yard of the month.
Yeah, I mean, I think with Jameson Lawn Care, I'm going to be a candidate for yard of the month. Give him a call, 901-372-3166, 372-3166, or jamesonpest.com. All right, let's play a quick game of Believe It or Not.
Now it's time for Believe It.
Believe. I don't even know if I believe.
Now I'm a believer.
Or not. Believe it or not. On the Jeff Calkins Show.
Yesterday was a bad day for Ole Miss.
Believe it or not.
I do not believe that yesterday was a bad day for Ole Miss. Of course, you're referring to the fact that Ole Miss was... It was announced that Ole Miss would vacate 33 wins over a six-year period, the biggest being that they now vacate the win in 2014
over Alabama
as well.
When the goalposts went parading, I was there. The goalposts went parading through the – were you there? You were there?
I was covering the game, yes.
You were covering the game?
They also now vacate the 2012 win against Mississippi State as well as the 2014 win against Mississippi State. I'm just of the opinion of all...
Who the hell cares?
It's a vacated win. I mean, does that change the fact that you were there? Does that change the emotion of the day? I mean...
It's just like, here's... This is very much like the John Calipari run to the Final Four, right? I do think if it were a championship... Like, and the fact that they can't... that Memphis can't hang the banner is galling, particularly given... all the other crap that what happened in North Carolina or everywhere else, right? Corey Maggette at Duke and just on and on and on. But yeah, it just doesn't like whatever. Like you're going to vacate the memory of people carrying that goalpost through the
They got to keep the Sugar Bowl trophy, which was a big point of negotiation. They were trying to make sure they kept the Egg Bowl wins, but to me, of all the things that have happened to Ole Miss in the NCAA sanctions, this is the least significant.
When they do the Egg Bowl wins now with when their next year pregame,
correct,
and they put out the Egg Bowl records, will both Ole Miss and Mississippi State pull out the identical Egg Bowl records? Will they just put as W, or will they put like will Ole Miss say asterisk forfeit or something like?
No, because the games are not forfeited. Mississippi State doesn't win the games. Oh. They become vacated wins.
The games just disappear.
Correct. So Ole Miss will just have two fewer wins. That does not mean that Mississippi State will have
and it doesn't give
two
Ole Miss
more
losses.
Wins. Correct. They will just well they will now have losses in those games, but Mississippi State will not have wins.
Oh, they do get losses. It's not just the game doesn't exist. The Ole Miss things become losses, but Mississippi State things become...
I misspoke. They do not get wins. They're just forfeited games. So Mississippi State doesn't get the win. It's just the game is... It's almost on paper as if the game was not played. They're not forfeited.
That's what I'm saying.
The NCAA used to do forfeits, but that is not the case.
So, you're confusing me now. Is it going to say... When you look at Hugh Freeze's record,
correct.
Is it going to be an L or is it going to be a W or is it going to disappear?
It disappears. So
he's not going to be on his record.
Correct. So now
he did not get more L's.
Correct. His record is now 12-25.
Whereas before it was.
I believe he was 39-25.
I see. I got you. And that's how it has to appear in their record book.
Correct.
Yeah, the whole thing's stupid. Who cares? Stupid. Just dumb. Just dumb, 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 dumb. Who cares? Okay, go ahead.
Jeff, if I could pull up here, Kyler Murray will go number one in the NFL draft.
Believe it or not.
I believe it.
I think I do too.
This is a staggering, staggering sort of development. So Kyler Murray announced yesterday that he is devoting himself fully to football, right?
Yes.
So that was the first bit of news. He's developing himself for later football, will not be playing baseball for the A's. And then what you realize is Cliff Kingsbury is coach of the Arizona Cardinals. They have the number one pick. And he said back when he was coaching in the Big 12 that he would take Kyler Murray number one. Now, that's before – he knew he was going to be coach of the Cardinals before he knew the Cardinals were going to be number one. He just said that, right?
Correct.
And then it so happens that Kyler Murray's agent is Eric Burkhart, who is also the agent of Cliff Kingsbury. And they do have Josh Rosen, who they picked number one last year, but they could deal Josh Rosen and they could pick Kyler Murray. Some have speculated. Well, first of all, let's just think this. Do you believe it is wise to trade Josh Rosen and to draft Kyler Murray?
If you believe in Kyler Murray and you don't believe in Josh Rosen.
That's not my question. I'm asking what you believe.
No, I think Josh Rosen still. I saw flashes from Josh Rosen. I saw one of the worst offensive lines, and I saw a really bad football team. So therefore, he looked like a rookie playing with a really bad football team. But I still saw plenty from Josh Rosen last year to make me think that he's still capable of being not only an NFL starter, but an extremely good NFL starter.
So if I just give you, forget trading, anything else, I just give you a choice. Josh Rosen is your quarterback. Kyler Murray is your quarterback. Who are you taking?
I'm taking Rosen.
Okay. If they deal him.
Yes.
What can they get for him? They should be able to get a one this year. I mean, look at who needs quarterbacks, right?
Yes.
Well, why?
I mean, I want the Giants to trade for him.
Why wouldn't Denver trade for him?
If there's someone in there, John Elway is apparently enamored with Drew Locke.
But why would you like Drew Locke over Josh Rosen?
Because that's
he's big and strong.
It's your guy. I mean, Rosen's not small. I mean, Rosen's what, 6'3"?
He's not bulky. He's not strapping. He's not a small guy at all. And he's kind of supposed to be a pain in the ass.
Mm-hmm. John Elway.
I would think you could get a one for Josh Rosen.
I think you should be able to get a one. If I'm the Cardinals, it's probably my asking price.
And I don't have any. Listen, then various people have said this. They've said if they do that, they can trade down and get Kyler Murray. I don't think you can.
I agree.
I just don't think you can risk it. If you are doing this, you are throwing over the quarterback you drafted number one last year because you believe in Kyler Murray and you think he's a stud.
Sure.
Don't F around. Just go ahead and pick him one.
Completely agree. You've totally changed my opinion on this. If you are sitting there and it's maybe considered a reach, but you believe in the guy at quarterback, that position is so valuable.
Take him. I mean, I suppose if you knew for sure that you could trade down to three and get an extra second round pick or whatever, because who's three? Whatever wants to jump up. Let's say whoever's three wants to take Joey Bosa, right? And you know, San Francisco's not taking a quarterback. San Francisco picks two.
So you know, okay. So the
who's
Jets
taking three?
The Jets. You know they're not going to.
So let's say the Jets want. They don't because they're going to be short on picks. But let's just pretend because they had to give up a lot of picks last year to move up, right, to get Bark. So, but let's just say the Jets wanted to jump up ahead of San Francisco to get Joey Bosa.
Okay.
And you are Arizona, and you say I can trade down to three because San Francisco's not taking. They're not taking a quarterback. They got Garoppolo.
Correct. You would think.
That's fine if you could get a second in order to jump down to three, I guess. But then you've got to trust that San Francisco isn't trading out because then San Francisco knows at that point they're not getting Joey Bosa, let's just say, for example. And maybe they don't want Josh Allen or maybe they don't care whether they get whichever of the – whether it's – you know, you name the next stud defensive lineman who's coming around. So, but I fundamentally, unless you could be guaranteed, I just go ahead and take him one. Which is amazing. Is he 5'10", 5'9"? What is he? Do we know an official on him?
So he is going to be at the combine. He obviously was not at the Senior Bowl, but
right,
we do not know the official. But, I mean, I've stood next to him. He's closer to 5'9", in my opinion, than he is to 5'10".
If Baker hadn't done what Baker did, this would not be happening.
I completely agree.
Baker makes this possible. The fact that they – in a ballsy way, went ahead. And first of all, they disproved the myth of that just because Patrick Mahomes. Like, A, you got Patrick Mahomes and Baker Mayfield. It used to be said that Big 12 quarterbacks, you couldn't trust them because of the system. Well, let's throw that out the window.
Yes.
Two of the best young quarterbacks in the league are Big 12 quarterbacks. And then Baker comes in. They don't take the big strapping guy, mm-hmm. any of the big strapping guys who were in the draft last year. They take Baker Mayfield number one. It was clearly the right thing to do. And so now are like, okay, I can take a shrimpy Big 12 quarterback. And he is shrimpier. There's no question. And he is slighter. There's no question.
He also doesn't, in my opinion, make as many throws from the pocket. Baker had this reputation of being Manziel.
Baker moves in the pocket.
Yes.
Baker moves
Kyler
in the pocket.
Kyler is more Manziel than Baker is Manziel.
Yeah,
in terms
but he,
of, in terms
Kyler
of the,
is more – Manziel also felt like crazy and then throw it up and let the big receivers go get it, whereas Kyler Murray does strike me.
He is more calculated, yes.
He's more accurate, and he's more professional in the way he lives his life.
Agreed.
I think both of those things are true.
Agreed.
And I don't mind –
when I say Manziel, for the record, I was saying –
Sober
in terms
Manziel.
Of, and I was saying in terms of the football field.
Right.
I'm just saying in terms of the way he plays the game.
But I don't – listen, Joey Bosa might be a very good defensive end, right? He's not changing the fortunes of your football team.
No, I mean...
He's just not. He's,
Nick,
he's just
mean.
Not.
Nick
but Bosa.
To your point,
Bosa, yeah.
Joey Bosa is an unbelievable defensive
right.
end.
And he has not changed the fortune.
Right.
I mean, he's a very good player. He's a very good player for San Diego. That's for San Diego, for LA. I keep screwing up now. I've called him Joey Bosa, whatever. But yes, he's a very good player. He does not change the fortunes of your football team. Just doesn't. So if you have someone who can, you know, who does change the fortune of your football team, Patrick Mahomes, quarterback. And so if you're convinced, go ahead. Go ahead.
I agree. If you are convinced he's the guy, take him.
And then I think they should be able to get a one for Josh Rosen.
I think so, too. Do it, Giants.
So, okay. Here's one for you.
All right.
You have waited in line for a food establishment to open for the first time.
Believe it or
in
not.
Other words, I'm not saying you've waited in line at Houston's
right.
for a table.
Right.
Lots of people have waited in line. How long is it going to be?
Sure.
Half an hour, et cetera.
I know what you're saying.
What I'm saying is right
the
now
grand
there is
opening.
A Chick-fil-A chick is opening.
Chicken salad chick.
Chicken salad chick. That
yes.
Chick-fil-A chick, that would be the best ever.
Yes, I would be.
I'm sorry.
I might wait for that.
A chicken salad chick. I got to say, the Chick-fil-A lines, by the way.
Yeah, they're absurd.
But they move so fast.
It's a science.
It's the fastest moving line ever.
They do the double thing. You get the people
yeah.
out front that take your order.
Yeah.
It moves.
So Chicken Salad Chick is opening in Germantown, and people are camped out.
Yeah.
Now, mind you, there is a Chicken Salad Chick in East Memphis,
mm-hmm.
which does not – you don't have to camp out for.
No.
But so people are camped out for this Chicken Salad Chick. Have you ever been to the grand opening of a restaurant and – either waited, camped out, et cetera?
I have not.
Can you imagine it?
I think there would be two examples that I would wait for, and it would be In-N-Out or Whataburger if we opened either here.
Why wouldn't you just wait a week and then go?
Because there's a novelty thing. And
have you waited in line for movies like Bennett probably for Star Wars, right? Have you ever done that? Like done the late at night,
midnight
open
showing.
Thing? Yeah.
Yes.
The Harry Potter one, the Harry Potter book. People used to wait for that.
Yes.
Is that
I did not
book?
Wait for the books.
Was it the book?
Well, they and the movies.
And like, the movies.
Yeah.
Yeah. You've done it for movies?
I did it for a couple of Star Wars movies, and then I definitely did it for The Dark Knight. We even dressed up, a group of us from high school.
What did you dress up as?
Joker.
Were you all the Joker?
No, everyone else had a character, but I can do the impression.
I see. You can do what?
I can do the Heath Ledger's voice.
Oh, let's hear it. I won't know it well enough, but call it up. Can we call up? Can we get the authentic Heath Ledger voice and then see how you do?
Okay, which one do you want me to do first?
I want to hear the authentic Heath Ledger voice first, and then I want to hear how well you do the Heath Ledger Joker voice. This is quite the – I'm putting you on the spot here on many different levels.
Yeah, it's a weird statement. Matthew Stafford's dead cap hit.
Whoops.
Never start with the head. The victim gets all fuzzy. He can't feel the neck. See?
You wanted me. Here I am.
I wanted to see what you'd do. And you didn't disappoint. You let five people die. Then you let Dent take your place. Even to a guy like me, that's cold.
Where's Dent?
Those mob fools want you gone so they can get back to the way things were. But I know the truth. There's no going back. You've changed things. Forever.
Then why do you want to kill me?
I don't want to kill you.
What would I do? Who is he talking to there, Batman?
Batman.
Okay.
So.
Okay.
Go ahead. This is the interrogation scene.
Go ahead. Uh-huh.
Never start with a victim's head. It gets all fuzzy. Can't feel the next. See? You want to know why I use a knife? You see, guns are too quick. That would be my impression.
Pretty good. Yeah. Pretty good. Pretty good. Okay. Are we agreed on Kyler Murray? Is that where we were?
No, we were talking about chicken salad.
Chicken salad chick.
Yes. So yes. The things that I've
been to chicken salad.
And
chick,
I've waited for movies.
Have you been to chicken salad chick?
I have. I've been to chicken salad chick. It's very solid chicken salad.
I thought it was solid chicken salad. Maybe I got the wrong one. It dazzles me. There's too many varieties. So
I'm nearly certain that the line in Germantown is for chicken salad chick.
Yes, it is. It's for chicken salad chick.
Yes.
Okay. All right. What's next?
Jeff, you are upset that the Bills didn't sign Kareem Hunt.
Believe it or not.
Well, no. But we talked about this earlier. I'm not upset they didn't. But would I have been upset had they? And this is just admitting my flaws as a human being. And I think this is, how many fans care? How many fans, in other words, so Kareem Hunt, was he convicted, charged? What did he do?
No, he has, the entire legal process is, it is alleged, well, there's video of him hitting a young female and then kind of going back.
There is video.
There is video. And that's why he was immediately cut from the Chiefs.
But I mean, what videos have we had? We've had the Ravens.
Ray Rice.
Ray Rice.
Yes.
Punching his girlfriend and she in the elevator. Okay. We have Joe Mixon.
Yes.
Punching his girlfriend decking his girlfriend in a restaurant.
Yes.
Okay. We have Jeffrey Simmons.
Yes. There's video of that.
Fighting.
He also tore his ACL apparently.
A woman recently?
Yes. In draft workouts.
What?
Yep.
Wow.
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
Can't wait for him to go to the Patriots.
So Jeffrey Simmons punching a woman in a parking lot.
Yes.
It wasn't in a parking lot? I think something. It was a fight.
It looked like, I don't know if it was a parking lot, but it was clearly a street.
And then we have Kareem Hunt. Okay, so Joe Mixon is playing.
Yes.
Drafted in the second round, I believe.
Yes.
Ray Rice not playing because he's not good. Jeffrey Simmons would have been a top 15 pick, but he tore his ACL.
Correct.
So he's no longer going to be a top 15 pick. But it's not because he beat up someone.
No.
It's because he's torn his ACL.
He was not invited to the combine, however, because of the
He was not invited to the combine because of that. That's true.
Yes, I don't
and
think.
And now we have Kareem Hunt. Does anyone care? It's too much to say nobody cares.
Yeah. I just think that if you ask, would you be upset if your team signed him, I think more people than not would say
no.
Yeah.
If they're being honest.
Yes. He can play.
And so we're critical of the league.
Yes.
Which I am critical of the league. Mostly I'm critical of the league for the contrast between this and the Colin Kaepernick thing. It's just unbelievable.
Yes.
That's what's unbelievable. And here's the other thing it plugs into. The league is reacting the way it is to Colin Kaepernick, as opposed, first of all, because it's a sort of reactive league, right? Like it's a hidebound conservative kind of league, right? That cloaks itself in
old families that own.
Exactly. Yes, yeah, exactly. But more than that, the reason the league won't touch Colin Kaepernick is because they think it's going to make their fans unhappy.
Yes.
Right? And it's going to have a backlash against their fans, and their fans are going to be unhappy, and the fans might boycott the games, and it's all of that, right? It's the league doesn't like that.
It's a distraction.
What's amazing is signing, it really just feeds into where we are as a society, is that signing Colin Kaepernick provokes outrage, and so clear outrage on the part of some, and so therefore you can't sign him. Signing Kareem Hunt or any one of these other people, drafting Joe Mixon, doesn't produce outrage, and so therefore you can't sign him. So it's the league's fault at some level, but But the league is really just reflecting the values of our society, which is freaking crazy.
Yes.
Right?
Yeah. I mean, at the end of the day, we care about winning. It's a scoreboard league.
But we don't care about winning. What I'm saying is that with whether it's Kaepernick, we don't care about it. It's what there. It's not just about winning. There it is. That will produce real protests. Someone kneels, fans will be angry. Someone beats up a woman, fans won't be angry. That's what I'm saying. And which is like, yes, it's the league. Everyone says, I can't believe the league is blackballing this dude because he kneeled, but they're happy to take back this person who smashed a woman's face.
Right.
What I'm saying is that the league is doing that, but the league is doing that because that is also how society feels. They're not going to have protesters out there protesting Kareem Hunt. They would have protesters out there protesting Colin Kaepernick. We got to take a break. Back in a moment. Jeff Calkins Show, 92.9 FM ESPN.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
Jeff's guests appear on the Memphis Express phone line. Get on board the Express at AAF.com or call 901-881-3344 for tickets. This is the Jeff Calkins Show on 92.9 FM ESPN.
You know what's going to make your home look great? Plantation shutters. Nothing classier than plantation shutters. And at Affordable Blinds of Memphis, they can now get you plantation shutters within 2 weeks. Beautiful, affordable plantation shutters within 2 weeks. Listen, there's a few things that you should not do yourself. And one is your blinds, shades, or shutters. Call Chip Wiggins at Affordable Blinds in Memphis. He'll come in. Got the mobile showroom there. Show you all the new stuff. They got these motorized blinds that that are absolutely fantastic. They have the new cordless blinds. This is what he came in to show me the other day. There's no cord that I can't figure out, or that's gonna, let's be honest, be dangerous for your little kid. The blinds where you put your hand just at the bottom of the blind and push it up, and magically it goes up. Or you pull it down and magically it comes down. None of this trying to be a puppeteer with those damn cords. They can do that for you. Instantly add style to your home or business. They handle lots of businesses around town, lots of restaurants around town, by calling Affordable Blinds in Memphis. They'll give you an estimate, and within 2 or 3 weeks, he will have your house transformed. Phone number 753-5822, 753-5822, or go, you can see what they're all about. Look at their stuff at affordablebindsofmemphis.com. Let's wrap this baby up.
Now, it's the closing argument.
John Martin's going to join me briefly here. John,
yes, sir.
I asked Gary this question earlier. John just happened to wander in and sit down across from me, so I decided to not let him waste his time.
Yeah.
You'll be with me tomorrow, won't you?
I will be with you tomorrow, but I'm always with you in spirit.
Right. So I have this question for you. Tennessee plays Kentucky this week.
That's right.
Memphis fans.
That's right.
Who are they rooting for? Is it clear to you that it's still Kentucky, or has the new fracas?
Who are they rooting for or against?
Who are they rooting against? Is it clear to you that they're still rooting against? Because the fracas with Tennessee has riled up Memphis fans about Tennessee fans, don't you think?
No doubt.
Last year, if Tennessee had played Kentucky,
the Tennessee thing is much fresher. Now I know the Calipari thing runs deeper, but that happened a decade ago. You know, I'd like to think that as a community, we are capable of moving on from things that happened 10 years ago.
True blue. Okay, well, who are you? We know you're a hater.
I am. I am the deputy editor of the Haters Tribune.
Right, exactly. So who are you going to be rooting against?
I would like to see Tennessee humbled. I would like to see Tennessee
last
humbled.
Last year, if I had asked you the same question.
Well, Tennessee wasn't relevant last
year. I know,
year.
But who would you have been rooting? Who would you have been rooting against then?
I would have been I've moved on from the Kentucky thing.
You don't root against them at all?
No, I don't feel anything anymore. Like, I've moved on.
You don't feel anything anymore?
I do not. When I see Calipari, I do not say, Man, you know,
You don't not want... If Calipari won the national title, you'd be perfectly happy with that.
I wouldn't say I'd be happy. I would be ambivalent.
There'd be no... Oh, hell, you're not actively rooting against Kentucky anymore.
No, and I haven't been for years. Years and years. I know you have a...
You're showing great... No, I just enjoy it.
No, you have a personal thing with Cal because he hated you.
He did, but I enjoy...
And so then you hated him.
It is easy to not like people who don't like you.
Right, that's how I felt about Tubby.
Well, Tubby didn't... Did he not like you? He didn't like anyone.
Well, I'm not saying it had to be just me.
Tubby didn't not like me. He just didn't care.
That's worse. You don't care. Because hate is not the opposite of love. Indifference.
Apathy and indifference.
Yes, exactly.
No, I John hated me.
He did hate you.
I don't know if Tubby knew my name.
We probably did.
Yeah. Okay. I look forward to listening to your show. I'm going to be listening.
What's the answer, by the way? I think the answer is you should root for Tennessee to be humble.
I think the answer is up to each individual to look into
Let's just stop doing sports radio.
To look into their
let's
black heart.
The rest of the week.
To look into their black heart and see who they're going to be rooting against. I think a surprising number will be rooting against Tennessee have changed. And so normally would have been rooting against Kentucky, will now be rooting against Tennessee. We have to say what's next. He's going to say you're next. Did Jeffrey tell him that?
Here's what's coming up next.
Here's what's coming up next. Brian Windhorst is going to join Jason and John at 11:25. It's Grizzlies Analyst Tuesday on the Eric Castletine Show. Mike Wallace will join them at 2:25. GP is live from New York. He'll have Keith Easterwood, Jeff Calkins today.
Thanks for listening, everybody. We will be back here tomorrow. For now, our work yours.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.